The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The apostles rejoined Jesus and told him all they had done and taught. Then he said to them, "You must come away to some lonely place all by yourselves and rest for a while." For there were so many coming and going that the apostles had no time even to eat. So they went off in a boat to a lonely place where they could be by themselves. But people saw them going, and many could guess where. And from every town they all hurried to the place on foot and reached it before them. So as he stepped ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he took pity on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he set himself to teach them at some length. The Gospel of the Lord.
You know, I always like to take the advice of the Lord. He knows that holidays and time out are important for our survival, as he's just told us in that Gospel. As you know, I like a busy house and a busy place and lots going on, but sometimes there indeed is so much coming and going, there's no time to reflect. With my time away, I had a lot of time to reflect because the entire south coast had blue on the picture of the weather, which meant either cloud or rain. And the sun popped through ever so briefly, and when it did, I was out. But otherwise, I had lots of time to reflect. Very interesting, one book I was looking at, just reading, the opening lines were, it was set in 1860. We're just recovering from the wettest June. And I thought, was that written this week? Which was, I was there the first week of July. Plenty of time to reflect. And in that time when I was there, of course, the banking situation sort of got much worse, was unfolding more and more as Bob Diamond resigned and all the other things and waived his 20 million bonuses and all that sort of thing. And the other banks that, of course, were all caught up in it. There was also, of course, the great fuss over the G4 Olympic security, or lack of it, from G4. And their executive officer reporting, while admitting failure, still hoping to be paid their millions for failure. Off the news, but no doubt still going on, and it was mentioned, I think, last night's news recently, the Levinson inquiry, still going on into the press and corruption within all that. Then, of course, last Sunday I was in Poole Parish and met a lovely parishioner I'd known, of course, when I was there, and she was very excited. She'd been to the Eucharistic Congress in Ireland. She was very impressed, very moved by it. But she said, "But my family in Ireland are still so bitter about the clerical abuse." So what the point is, it's all leaders, you see, leaders failing. And then, of course, many other happenings around the world. Syria goes on, Jeremiah, and is about telling them about the Babylonian king coming in. But Assyria was a bigger place than today's Syria, but it was part of it. And there you think of what's happening there. Terrible. And then, of course, the shooting in that cinema in America. It's all on it. Abuse, corruption, power, selfishness, so many directions. It all seemed to be crying out, was there not a time when we need a saviour? Then, of course, I looked at today's readings, and I could do with Bill here this morning, because I could hear Fraser in Dad's arms saying, "Doomed, we're all doomed," like Jeremiah in that doom to the shepherds, because you could seem to feel like that. Now, of course, Jeremiah is arguably the most depressed person in the scriptures. We often say about being a miserable Jeremiah or whatever, you know, don't be a miserable Jeremiah, you know. But you can't blame him. Because in a sense, at first hand, he was going to witness the destruction of Jerusalem at the hand of the Babylonians and the kings of Assyria. And moreover, what he knew was that these could all have been avoided if the people had listened to his admonitions to repent. And as I read that, I thought, can you not hear the Lord saying, as they're waving their millions, 20 millions, doesn't matter what it is, where they're waving that, say, you can't serve God and money. And that comes back to the shepherd, because Jeremiah, in Jeremiah's time, when he's speaking about the shepherds in that sense, it wasn't just the shepherd out keeping his flocks in the field. The shepherds were the kings, the rulers, those in power. David was the shepherd king. But in that, by Jeremiah's time, war and famines had brought the people to their knees. And he's caught up in the turmoil of the last years of Jerusalem's monarchy, and he's compelled to prophesy defeat, disaster. And all he gets is hostility from his own people, disdain from the rulers, and imprisonment to silence him, silence his subversion, because they don't want to hear that. Does that ring bells in our society when, if our church leaders maybe speak out about something, they want to silence the Christian message? So that question is the need of a Saviour. Where is God in it? And it's right there. That's why following that at first reading was the psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." There he is. The Lord is the good shepherd. And what people miss is that Jeremiah and the people of his time did too, that his opening words, those attacks on the evil leaders, is a prelude to hope. Because Jeremiah at the end gives us that new covenant that's going to be written on the heart, that covenant which is going to bring a new personal intimacy with God. And that's what they missed, because they were missing the doom, because they didn't like to hear it. And how politicians, but not just them, lots of people know that people can only cope with so much, and we tickle their ears so that they'll be comforted. But Jeremiah wasn't doing that. Tell him the reality, but at the end of reality, there was hope. Hope because he speaks of that new covenant. And that new covenant is what we celebrate. This is my blood of the new covenant. The good shepherd, Jesus, the true shepherd, is that Saviour, is that answer to all those questions. And so where is God in it all? He's right there, because he's preparing and giving the people the shepherd who will look after the sheep. But as well as just the good shepherd, Jeremiah also speaks about other shepherds, and that's us. Because all of us, once we're baptized, have that responsibility of Jesus. If you don't believe me, listen to him when he says, "When you do it to the least of my brothers and sisters, you do it to me." That's a leadership role, because that's someone in need, and we are tasked with helping them. We're doing the Lord's work. We're bringing the Lord's healing and strength and all those things into the situation. So as well as the good shepherd and the other shepherds we have a role in all that. And that, the second reading, pulls us into. Because St. Paul's reminding us there that in Christ Jesus, you, who maybe used to be so far away, have been brought close by the blood of Christ. This is my blood of the new covenant, the blood of Christ. And he is our peace. Why, just before we share it, do we have that peace? We're meant to bring that peace. Because that's where God is, right in the midst of all that turmoil, there, speaking of peace. Jesus saw the people, a big crowd, and he felt sorry for them. Compassion, speaking words of peace, of comfort, showing pity, showing mercy and love, because that shepherd king is showing us the right direction to go. For this is our God, the servant king, and he calls us now to follow him.